You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
As a chiropractic physician, we know that proper spinal structural alignment has many health benefits, including building more energy in your body, helping you avoid headaches, and getting rid of neck and low back pain. Now, research has shown that poor postures may increase feelings of depression, influence your confidence and stress levels, as well as even affecting your digestive system. Now, recently, discoveries in the field of neuroscience have shown that posture is actually controlled by the subconscious parts of your brain. Today on Wellness for Life, we have an internationally recognized posturologist, Annette Verpillo, who is here to share how important posture is to your health and well-being. Well, welcome, Annette. Great to have you here.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Now, Annette, what is a posturologist?
A posturologist is someone that is going to look at the postural strategies that an individual might have adapted over time in order to stand upright and fight gravity as efficiently as possible. So we tend to focus more on the cause of the problem rather than managing symptoms locally. So the outcome of the treatment is usually quite fast and quite effective once we've targeted the nervous system in order to realign posture.
Mm. So when you observe an individual, a person who, let's say, have low back pain or whatever it is, do you actually have them standing in front of you?
Yes, we do. We actually have a postural grid in our office where we will look at the three planes of space simultaneously to see if there is a postural asymmetry with the way that they stand.
Right. In chiropractic office, it's called a plumb line, where so that's exactly what you're doing. And you're staring at them when their feet are apart a certain distance. And then, of course, you're looking for the imbalances. Is one shoulder higher than the other? Is one leg longer than the other? That type, right?
Yeah, right. So the three planes. So the plumb line absolutely will look at the sagittal plane to see it, where the head is as far as the center of gravity. Is it forward? Is it backwards? What's going on there? Shoulder lower hip as well. Is there any rotation that's happening at the scapula or at the level of the hips? And for the feet analysis, we actually have machines that allow us to measure very precisely the center of gravity of someone's center of gravity and the weight distribution of both of their feet as well. So it gives us a pretty clear insight on the postural strategies that this individual has developed over time in order to stand upright and walk on two feet.
Mm, that makes sense about taking a look at how the pressures of your feet will be different depending on the way you're positioned. Now, what got you interested in correcting people's posture, Annette?
Well, I've been, as a younger athlete, I've always been implicated in the sports industry, and I was taken away from my sport, which was track and field, due to parental fear of potential injury. And I remember my father saying to me, you and, because I was crying and I was like, why do I have to stop? And he says, well, you know, by the age of 30, your body will be ruined. And of course, at the time, I didn't understand what that meant. But I've since then developed a particular interest in injury prevention and posture. What makes it that someone gets injured? What makes it that we can potentially get an injury while we're doing sports or even just, you know, sitting at our desk or picking up a pen? This is what kind of got me into the whole manual therapy and postural system as far as helping as many people as possible, really, so we can have a better quality of life.
So if you were to, now that you've studied all this about posture and became a posturologist, when you look at someone, can you actually predict the type of injury that they may have if you see a specific type of imbalances in the posture?
Yeah, well, you bring up a good point. We actually could predict areas of biomechanical weaknesses, which will tend to give us a better understanding or even way of predicting where the injury could potentially occur. And of course, it's going to depend on the individual that's in front of us, but it's all about prevention, really. Managing symptoms is something that is temporary, that it does provide relief, but again, the relief being temporary, the issues always seem to come back. And this was something that I was struggling with as a therapist, is as I was providing relief, but on a temporary basis. So I think that one of the interesting questions is also, why would the brain choose to have an individual stand with a lower shoulder, with a lower hip, with a rotation? Those are all things that were very interesting to me as far as helping people achieve a better quality of life.
Now, those are all compensations. You know, that's what we call it in chiropractic, is that if you are standing and one side is lower, and we end up compensating, and often there's like, let's say, a light scoliosis in the spine due to compensations. And that some people actually don't feel any pain after they've been compensating well, right?
Well, we'll take it a step further. In our clinic, we have specific links that we make with people's postural adaptations. And it's not uncommon to see someone that has a posture disequilibrium and not have any pain. I'd say that's 10% of the population, and I'm talking about the world's population here, whereas 90% of the world's population has had pain or is still suffering with pain at some point in their lives or chronically. You could have a postural imbalance and not suffer. I think that that's going to depend on how many, we call them sensory receptors, on how many body parts are actually sending faulty input to your brain in order for you to try to stabilize yourself in your environment. So if it's just one, for example, if your eyes are not tracking properly, then that's just one sensory receptor that's projecting faulty information. You might go about your daily life without feeling any pain. But if then you have a scar, or if you have an asymmetry of pressure on your feet, or you have a leg length discrepancy or scoliosis or something that's adding on to the existing problem, then very often the pain will become temporary. And we kind of work with these links that we've made in our clinic with the postural assessment that we perform.
Now, I understand that you actually teach other practitioners your technique. Isn't that correct? Because
yes.
You mentioned that, where is your clinic now?
We're located in Montreal, Canada, on Jean Talon Street.
I want to know, though, you know, how can people all around the country find out, around America, find out if their local doctor or a therapist knows how to work with your technique?
Well, yeah, so they could contact us. Our website is isposturepro.net, and our number is 514-315-8489 to find out if there is a posturologist near you.
How many posturologists are available right now?
Worldwide, there are 6,000.
Wow, so there's a lot of practitioners that know how to do your work, which is great.
Well, there's a lot, but there's still not enough.
right. Sure.
Where 6,000 versus the world's population is actually quite a small number. But yes, so far we're every year trying to teach as much as we can, and the goal is to try to impact as many lives as possible. And what better way to do it by teaching this to other healthcare practitioners who, of course, have an open mind and who are looking to take their careers to the next level.
Wonderful. Thank you for doing that. I'm sure that's making a big difference, because, you know, having just one person know the technique, it's just not enough. So you're sharing it with people who can help so many millions of people out there. Now, I wanted to ask you, so let's say that you did your analysis and you said it doesn't take long. Then what do you teach the client, the patient?
So we'll teach them to do very simple things, like one of the things that is included in our assessment or with the postural correction is an eye tracking or eye exercises. I like to call them eye exercises, which require no more than a minute and a half per day of the client's involvement. So different types of eye exercises, there are specific eye exercises also to target the brainstem. And it's going to depend on what we find. If there's scars, we'll treat it with essential oils. So the exercises are really very small as far as consumption of time, and they're very efficient because we're using the body parts that are specifically telling our brain how to stand in space. And I put an emphasis on that because in today's therapies, we tend to assess movement a lot. But when we start looking at the way that someone's posture is before they actually start moving, this is actually a great indication of where the postural adaptation and or postural compensation could be stemming from. So we'll target the specific body area that is causing the postural disequilibrium.
So what you're saying is that your exercises are that might, let's say the pain might be at an ankle, but you might do eye exercises, which is far away from that ankle, to create communication to the brain, right? That's what you're doing, and you're creating more information going back to the brain so that you can start healing faster. Is that correct?
Well, we know from published studies in neuroscience that the eye is a contributor to postural stability. So if we were to compare the eyes to the steering wheel of the car and the feet to the tires of the car and the car being the body, if there's an asymmetry of eye tracking, which is equivalent internal rotation of both eyeballs simultaneously when we're looking at an object, whether it be close or far, if the eyes are not able to perform this movement, which is what we do every day, every single day when we're just getting up, looking around, driving, and going about our day, if the eyes are unable to do this properly, then we're going to position ourselves according to the visual input that we are receiving through our eyes, and the brain is then projecting faulty information, which will create uneven muscular tension in the body, front, back, left, right.
Got it. I love that. You know, we all know that our eyes and our brain work together to keep our eyes leveled out. Well, right?
So level to the horizon, because we're really stuck looking at the horizon no matter the type of posture that we have. Hence, we've all seen the hunchback lady walking in the street. Her head is always somewhat aligned in order for her to have horizontal vision at the horizon.
That's right. Great. Now, what's the difference between your work and EgoSkew? Are you familiar with the EgoSkew exercises?
What is the EgoSkew's exercises, Tommy?
Well, it was created by a gentleman. His last name is EgoSkew. I think his first name is Scott, I believe. But anyway, there are exercises that work with the posture, and where there are small exercises that you do, but it helps get rid of pain. For instance, they're repetitive exercises that you use on the floor or on the wall to help out. But obviously... It's you're not sure what it is, so don't worry about it. You don't need to answer.
Well, no, I mean, I've looked at it very quickly, but any exercise, if I may comment on that. So I'm all for anything that's complementary to doing it while your posture if your posture is aligned. And what I mean by that is that the question is, why does someone have bad posture to begin with, and how long have they had this bad posture? Now, in your everyday life, when you're walking around, if you're walking around with a lower right shoulder, a lower left hip, and a rotation, you're constantly repeating a gait pattern over and over again, day in and day out, which your brain is then recording this motor information, and you're creating faulty motor patterns as you're going about your day without even really knowing about it. Now, if we're practicing an exercise to help take us out of that faulty pattern or that faulty posture, it would have to be, in order to counterbalance the effect of poor posture, it would actually have to be the same amount of hours put in, if not more, in order to change the faulty motor patterns so that we can go back to being perfectly aligned. So what I'm saying in essence is that you could, any corrective exercises will help. But again, once the individual walks 15 steps, if you take a look at that shoulder and that hip, it's still going to be lower. It's still going to be lower. So then did we treat the cause or did we manage the symptom? And it's going to go back to the cause of the symptom. If you're working with symptoms, it's temporary, although you are providing temporary relief. So the idea behind PosturePro is to correct the alignment permanently, which means that when they come in, they're misaligned. When they leave, they are aligned today, tomorrow, next week and in 2 months. And by doing so, we're able to change faulty motor patterns over time, which will then regress the postural adaptations that we've kind of built ourselves into over time.
Mm. You know, that's, I totally get it. What's great is that what you're saying is that you can do this with other types of therapy. That's number one.
Absolutely.
And then number two, what I'd like to know is when someone comes into the office and gets your exercises, you mentioned eye exercises. What other exercises optimize the balancing of the posture?
Well, you know, we see someone approximately 8 times in a year. We don't really need to see them more than that. Just getting them to get their eyes to move simultaneously together could sometimes take 2 or 3 consultations to begin with, because this is how disconnected some people are. There is a very close link between pain and eye tracking, meaning if someone is actually feeling pain, whatever the pain is, chances are that they have an eye tracking discrepancy to begin with. So just the eye exercises alone to get them to actually converge on a target and kind of regain motor control over their eye movement could potentially take 2 or 3 sessions. And after that, it's really a question of incorporating other brain exercises. So we can target the brain stem, which controls the involuntary part of the muscular system. So we can't really try harder to have better posture, but if we work on the brain, we target the involuntary muscular system, the intrinsic muscles of the spine that are there in order for us to be able, again, to fight gravity efficiently and have upright posture.
Oh, God, that's so fascinating. You know, while you and I are talking right now, Annette, I'm doing my eye exercises.
Are you?
And I am because, you know what, as a doctor, I know exactly some of the movements that we also want to make sure that we all can do. You know, when you do neurological testing, you've got to test out the eyeballs, right, and the movement of the eyes. And I realized just doing this, boy, we do not move our eyes properly. I mean, like, how often do you really go to the extremes of the left and right, diagonally, circular, you know? And I'm doing this, I'm like, wow, I should do some more eye exercises here.
Well, I think that eye exercises should be part of our daily fitness routine as eating right and working out and taking our vitamins and supplements.
Yes, that's right.
Absolutely. It's something that should be incorporated. Because through a very simple test, really, anyone can do this test. If you just grab a pen, position it on the root of your nose and try to look at the tip of the pen, make sure someone's in front of you with an iPhone, of course, taking a picture. 9 times out of 10, one of the eyes will actually not be tracking in or seeing the same visual image that the other eye is looking at. So in essence, your brain is seeing 2 different images that is being projected into the brain, and then your perception of the environment, again, is going to be falsified based on what you see.
Oh, this is fascinating science. Now, I know that, you know, individuals who may have eye issues, like tracking issues, they don't read very well. They might have problems with dyslexia, you know, and they might change letters and all that. Will your exercises actually help with that type of condition?
Well, yeah, if we're in essence, if the eyes are moving more symmetrically and allowing the subject to be able to focus on a target, and in this example, the target being a letter or a word, then at that point, learning mechanisms, whether it be dyslexia, dyspraxia, dysorthographia, all of these learning disabilities can become improved. But also, if the image going on the retina, if convergence is improved, the image going on the retina is also improved. And we've had some clients report getting a better eyesight from the eye exercises as well. This is not something that we'll promote, but this is definitely something that we've noticed clinically in our practice where clients are telling us, you know what, I went to see the eye specialist and they told me that my refraction disorder has improved by 0.25. So, yes, it's absolutely possible, whether it be for learning disabilities, hyperactivity, underactivity, posture problems, or even improving your eyesight. Eye exercises works on all spheres of health in that sense.
Mm, That's right. You know, I do eye exercises, not the ones that, you know, where it's the extreme that we were talking about earlier, but I do one actually so that I can read better. I'm 55 and I don't need glasses to read yet, which is awesome. And that's because I've been doing eye exercise where I look far and then I come to close and go back and forth. And it's something that I want to prevent. I don't want to wear eyeglasses. You know what I mean?
But that's really what it is, right? With age, what happens is that the lens starts getting a little bit more rigid, and then we're having a harder time contracting that lens. So the more and more you work out through eye exercises, looking far, looking close, looking far, you're kind of practicing this whole visual mechanism that happens within the eyeball. And I'm a firm believer of exactly what you just said. I mean, can we delay the inevitable from happening? Sure, we could by having a healthy lifestyle and doing some eye exercises as well.
Yes, yes. Earlier on, you talked about how you measure the pressures of the feet when a client comes in. Now, how important is, you know, shoes and the type of footwear that you deal with every day?
I personally think that it is very important. I've noticed that, and I don't know if you have, that most people tend to wear shoes that are, too small for their feet, which is going to impact their gait, and really disconnecting them from the ground. The skin of the foot is there in order to tell our brain which type of ground we're walking on. Are we walking on grass? Are we walking on sand? Are we walking on gravel? We need the sensory information so that our brain can know where we are in the environment. Now, if we start putting shoes that are too small, preventing our toes from opening up while we take off with our big toe, or if the shoes are too rigid, which are not allowing proper flexion and extension of the ankle, then, I mean, inevitably, it will affect the way that you stand and the way that you walk.
So it is important. Now, I'm someone that I love, you know, I like to go barefoot in my house so that I can feel the outside. Even when I go out in my patio and in my terrace, I want my feet on the actual stones, because it's part of the way I connect to earth energy. Are you familiar with that? Is that something that you also believe?
I do believe in that. I think that the human body is connected on many spheres. Biomechanic is one of them, but we are energy beings. So I think it is important to reground ourselves as well. And I am a big believer of walking bare feet as often as possible so that we don't inflict that faulty gait pattern that starts with our feet, really, and what we put our feet into. But I'm going to say this, because I do have a lot of clients that come in and say, I love to walk bare feet. It's just that once the foot has adapted to, an uneven weight distribution, there needs to be a couple of exercises. And again, coming in from the eyes are going to change the way that the feet land on the floor, in order to realign the feet so that we have that even weight 50-50 on both feet and both legs.
Yes. You know, as I also have a stand-up desk while we're talking right now. And what I'm feeling right now is, you know, I've sprained my ankle at a very young age, like 4 years old. And to this day, it's been the worst. I mean, at least it's the one injury that has affected my whole body. And as you, as a posturologist, you probably understand what that means.
I do.
And that the right foot is definitely different than the left. But you're saying that with the work that you do, I would use eye exercises to normalize the foot balance.
Yes, I'm saying that we have pictures on our Facebook page that we post as often as possible. We actually post once a week, which is every Sunday, posture correction, whether it be the feet, the eyes, or actual sagittal plane or frontal plane correction. So for example, flat feet, we have in clinic what we call a podoscope, which allows the client to step on this platform that has a mirror under it. And we have kind of like a fluorescent light that allows us to see the weight distribution. So that's kind of a visual. 72% of the time, the weight on the feet looks visually uneven. But then we can take it a step further and then analyze exactly how much weight is distributed on the toes, on the heels, left foot, right foot. Point being is when we start correcting those sensory entries that tell our brain how to stand, we take a picture in the first session, we take a picture throughout the entire year, And we will see a difference in an arch forming in most of our clients, the ones that are actually doing the work with us, and feet becoming more symmetrical. And what that translates to for them is pain-free living, a better quality of life, and again, global health.
Oh, gosh, this is so fascinating. Love all that we talked about, Annette. And Facebook, they can go to the Posture Pro, because I'm going to check out some of those videos that you're talking about. Posture Pro?
Yeah, so it's facebook.com/Posture Pro is our Facebook page. Every Sunday, we post results that we get in clinic with children, with the elderly. We work with Parkinson's disease as well, clustered headaches. So, you know, serious medical, anything ranging from a serious medical condition to a simple lower or shoulder back pain or any type of chronic pain. We show the postural changes that we get over time at the clinic.
Oh, that's awesome. So posturepro.net. Thank you so much, Annette. Thank you so much for sharing your valuable information. This is so that you can help millions of people out there have a much better life, pain-free, of course. And if you want to learn more about her information, posturepro.net, and you'll probably find the practitioners that know how to do the work there. Thank you so much, Annette. Now, I'm going to make a short announcement. I'm going to be on the Global Health Summit. It's an online summit. It's coming up, and my subject is going to be burn off your toxic fat with more sun, sleep, and your mighty mitos. This is a once-a-year online event with Carrie Tepidino, and really excited to be one of the honored guests to be one of those expert speakers. So if you want to know more about it, it's coming up. It's drsuzanne.com/GHS for Global Health Summit. So again, Dr. Suzanne, drsuzanne.com/GHS. All right, until next time, I will see you. Live your best life full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate wellness today. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural health strategies on Wellness for Life right here on Radio MD. Stay well.